Good morning.
Good morning.
I am glad to see each and every one of you that are here this morning on a Memorial Day weekend. We're glad that you have taken the time to come and to be here for a time of worship. Announcements are brief this morning. They really are. The uncertainty is crafty. Ladies, I don't believe you're meeting tomorrow. Oh, they shake their head. We are not. And Tuesday night, we also... The crafty ladies, yeah. Tuesday night, we will not be having the compassion class. That will be picking up then the next week. With everything going together, we're just having to reshuffle things. Wednesday, we have youth group will be here, so we look forward to that. Other than that, I don't think I have, yes.
I'm going to be doing the script today and for the next 2 weeks in preparation for Father's Day.
Thank you, Tana. Okay, script cards.
We have a new vendor. Do you guys remember when we first started script brief announcements? When we first started, I'm up here all by myself. I might as well talk.
You can do what you want.
When we first started script, do you guys remember, for those of you who know or don't remember, the script is the pre-ordered cards where, you know, you want a $25 card from Walmart. Tana gets a $25 card from Walmart. The cool part is we only pay maybe $20, and we get to pocket that. We use that for fundraisers, and we've been putting it towards the mortgage, etc. When we first started, we were able to get prepaid Visa cards, so you could use those anywhere. And Visa ended up taking away their contract with the company that we use, but we were recently told that now you can buy Discover cards. So keep that in mind when you. I think they only come in certain denominations right now, but I'm sure that will denominations.
That's what you said.
What is the right word? That's not right, is it?
Certain amounts. How about amounts?
My husband would love to know that I just used a big word and I'm not sure if I used it right. But anyway, so those will come in extremely handy. Just think of that. You know, a lot of times when we buy our cards, we're limited to only that store because that's all we can buy. But now we can do Discover cards and then you can spend them anywhere. So.
Cool. All right. I'm going to ask if our usher would come forward. This morning, as we receive this offering, it's always so special because it's what we give to God. It's our opportunity to lift to Him out of the blessings He's given to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. Lord, as we come together today, gathered here, we do remember those who have given their lives so that we can have this freedom of coming to church and worshiping together and not be in fear of anything outside the church, that we have freedom to worship. And we have so many other freedoms, Father, that we're so thankful for. And we thank You, Lord, for the blessings that You give. So now as we would receive this offering, we lift it up to You. We ask, Father, that You would just place Your hand upon it and that You would just multiply and let it be a blessing as we serve You through this church and in this community. And we lift this to You now in Jesus' name. Amen. Is the sun going to come out today? It may not outside, but you know what? In our hearts, it can shine brightly. It really can. I heard about a guy. The guy's name was John, and no, it's not our John, or our John, but a guy named John. And John was kind of like me. He had a very serious memory problem. Now, ladies, I just want to ask: how many of you think that your spouse has a memory problem? Yeah, Don, I already owned up to it. Well, good. I mean, am I the only one with the memory problem? Wow. Anyway, one day John ran into a friend of his, and he'd not seen his friend in a long time, and he greeted him and said, "Bill, do you remember what a bad memory I had?" And Bill answered. He said, "Yeah, I certainly do." John says, "Well, it's not bad anymore. I went to a seminar that taught us how to remember things. It was great. And now I have a wonderful memory. Well, Bill answered, that is great. What was the name of the seminar? Well, John said, wait a minute. My wife is with me, and she went to the seminar with me. I'll ask her. And he looked over and he turned and he saw his wife nearby. And then he turned back to Bill and he said, Bill, what's the name of that flower, you know, that has the long stem on it and thorns and kind of has a red bloom? And Bill looked at it and said, you mean a rose? Yeah, thanks, John said. Hey, Rose, what's the name of that seminar we went to? Okay. That's it. That's all I got today. That's the end of the humor. It was the best I could come up with. But listen, some people really are forgetful. Our lives are busy and we forget things. Tomorrow's Memorial Day. And it is a day of remembering. And sometimes I think that people forget that it's a day of remembering. Many people seem to forget what Memorial Day is all about. My brother-in-law put a thing on Facebook, and here I go jumping out of my notes right at that. But I thought it was really good because Memorial Day, yes, we celebrate veterans, but more specifically, Memorial Day, we celebrate fallen veterans. Those who gave their life for us. And all too often we forget that. Well, we have another holiday that celebrates the veterans living and dead and all of that. But sometimes people forget. For many, Memorial Day has become a time for picnics, for ball games, or maybe the first big day out on the lakes. You know, a lot of people look at Memorial Day as the start of summer. It's the time to get that rolling. It is all of that and more, but the reason for the holiday, or that the holiday is so important, it is a day to stop and to honor those who have given their lives so that we can have those picnics and not worry about our freedoms, and maybe even suicide bombers. It's a day to remember those that have died for our freedom, the freedom that we have to assemble here today and to have a time of worship. Listen, Christians are being persecuted, folks, all over the world. But because of the heroes that we remember on Memorial Day, we remember on this holiday, we don't have to fear that same kind of persecution. In other parts of the world, when a person stands up and says, I'm a Christian, it may mean their head's going to be cut off. There's been battles fought and people have died so that we can worship, so that we can be here. I got a story I want to share with you about one hero that we can think about on Memorial Day. And World War II, and it produced many, many heroes. And one such man was Lieutenant Commander Butch O'Hare. He was a fighter pilot. He was assigned to an aircraft carrier, Lexington in the South Pacific. One day, his entire squadron went out on a mission after he was airborne. And this is not a good thing. After he was airborne, he looked at his fuel gauge and realized that someone had forgotten to top off his tank. That's a little tough. I mean, we were driving yesterday, and I looked and saw that I had my thing on my truck said that I could go 31 miles, and I had 25 miles to town. You don't like it when that fuel tank is low like that, so we decided to stop and put fuel in it so we could make it to town. But to be up in an airplane out over the ocean, and he looks and somebody forgot to top off the fuel. He looked and realized this. He knew he couldn't complete his mission and get back to the ship. His flight leader told him to return to the carrier, and reluctantly he dropped out of formation and headed back to the fleet. As he was returning to the main ship, he saw something that turned his blood cold. And it was a squadron of Japanese aircraft that were speeding their way toward the American fleet. The American fighters were all gone on their mission, and the fleet was pretty much defenseless. He couldn't reach his squadron in time to get them back to save the fleet, nor could he really warn the fleet of the approaching danger. There's only one thing to do. He must somehow divert them from the fleet. Well, laying aside all thoughts of personal safety, he dove in to the formation of the Japanese planes. Wing-mounted 50 caliber shells just blazed as he charged in, attacking one surprised enemy plane and then another surprised enemy plane. Butch just wove in and out of the now broken formation and fired as many planes and shot at down as many planes as he could until all his ammunition was finally gone. Undaunted, he continued to assault, and he dove at the enemy planes trying to maybe clip a wing or a tail or something, just trying to get them to where they would back off or be knocked out of the sky. He so exasperated this Japanese squadron that they finally took off and headed in another direction. Oh, deeply relieved, he took his plane and he kind of limped his way back to the carrier. Upon his arrival, he related the report, he reported in and related the events that had happened. The film from the gun camera mounted on his plane told the story, and it showed the extent of Butch's daring attempt to protect his fleet. He had, in fact, destroyed 5 enemy aircraft. And this took place on February 20th, 1942. And Forrest Action Books became the Navy's first ace of World War II and the first naval aviator to win the Congressional Medal of Honor. A year later, Butch was killed in aerial combat at the age of 29. Well, his hometown, knowing that he was a hero, they wouldn't let this World War hero's name, they wouldn't let it fade. And today, O'Hare Airport in Chicago is named in tribute of the courageous acts of this man. Butch O'Hare was one of the hundreds of thousands of men and women who have stood in the gap between freedom and tyranny, and have given their life, folks, for our freedom. Going back further, in 1775, Patrick Henry was at the Second Virginia Convention, and he made a motion that Virginia form a standing army to fight in the Revolutionary War. And in his speech to the other elected officials, he said this, "I know not," and you may know this, history buffs or not, "I know not what course others might take. But as for me, give me liberty or give me death." You know, I believe that is the heart of all heroes who have died for their country. These people who stand in the gap between tyranny and liberty. And our scripture this morning that I start off with is going to be just one verse, and it's one simple little verse. The prophet Ezekiel was writing this, and he was warning the nation Israel about what will happen if they don't turn back to God and continue to worship and obey Him. One verse, one simple verse. And he wrote to the nation of the impending destruction and exile that would come. In verse 30 of Ezekiel 22, he writes that God is looking for someone who will stand in the gap for what is right and be the hero that is needed. Verse 30 reads like this. It says, I looked for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I searched for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so that I wouldn't have to destroy the land, but I found no one. The people of Israel had turned away from God. They'd become a people of sin, a people of debauchery. They had enjoyed freedom and peace as long as they were living and being the nation that God had intended them to be. But God said that he could find no one to stand in the gap. We're fortunate, and I thank God that we have had so many through history and the history of our nation who willingly stood in the gap for freedom and for what is right. The other day, I was at teen court, and I don't know why the questions were being asked that were being asked, but there were questions like, I don't know, just high school type questions. We're having kind of fun answering them. But one of these, the Declaration of Independence came up, and the students, I said, how does that start? And I was talking to high school students. Some of them are seniors in high school. I said, how does it start? Well, I'd started off with the Gettysburg Address, and they couldn't do that one. But then I went to the Declaration of Independence. I said, what are the first words? What does it say? And they couldn't do it. But let me read this to you. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Remember that? That all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's the formation of our country. The Jewish people that we were talking about earlier had the same God-given rights that are in our Declaration of Independence. God had given them their freedom from bondage in Egypt. He had brought them safely through the desert into a land that was flowing with milk and honey. And as they squandered the rights of God, rights that God had given them, he was taking his hand of protection off of them. And because no one was willing to stand in the gap for what was right and true and just, no one would stand in the gap. The nation Israel and Judah were both eventually defeated and sent into exile to other nations. And all of this happened, folks, because no one would stand in the gap. While we honor our heroes for protecting our liberties, which include our religious freedoms, we are in need of people who will stand in the gap for our faith, for the Christian faith. Listen, and I try to not be an alarmist. I try to not be one that runs, you know, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. That's really not what I do, but there's certain things that we have to look at. And I'm afraid that we as a nation are going down the same path to destruction that the Israelites walked. We as a nation, now listen, are losing our Christian heritage. And if we do not have individuals who are willing to stand in the gap and fight for our faith, our future as a nation is bleak. Oh, man. Pastor, this is a down message. It's just the truth. On March 9th, 2008, our president stood up and gave a speech. And in his speech, he said this: we are no longer a Christian nation. And he went on to say that we are a nation of Hindus and Muslims and etc. He went through his speech with. And you know what? He was right in pointing out that we're a diverse nation. I understand that. But he's wrong when he said that we're no longer a Christian nation. We must be a Christian nation because that's how things were formed. We were founded on principles of freedom and freedom of religion that were derived from the God of the Bible. That's what the nation was founded on. I'm not going to get started on some other thoughts that are my own thoughts concerning speeches that have come since. But we get our freedom from God. And this is where our unalienable rights come from. Not from the government. We're becoming so concerned that we do not offend anyone that we let our faith become trampled on under the guise of tolerance. We can't stand up and say what we want to say, because if we do, then we're some kind of a radical, or we're somebody that's way out in left field. And our mouths are being silenced. Who will stand in the gap for the nation? Who will speak for the Christian? The Apostle Peter kind of gives us some guidelines and tells us how to do this, how to stand in the gap. 1 Peter 3 is where I'm coming from. And Peter started this chapter giving instructions to wives. Then he moves on to husbands. Then he gives instructions to all Christians on how to stand in the gap. 1 Peter 3, verse 13. Now who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. But do this in gentle and respectful ways. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live, because you belong to Christ. Remember, it is better to suffer for doing good, if that is what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong. And Peter writes that we're to be courageous. Verse 14, he writes that we should not be afraid of threats from unbelievers. Be strong and be courageous. And he goes on and he says, he gets to the heart of the matter in verse 15. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if somebody asks about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. We mess up on that. We shy away. I've had people that tell me how they want to stand up and they want to speak and they want to stand for Christ. And I say, stand in the gap for Christians, and they want to stand up. But they don't do it, because what's happened is friends and family and relatives have belittled them and put them down and ridiculed them and said, that's just a bunch of hooey. And so because they don't want to be embarrassed, or they don't want to be there and have people making fun of them, the mouths go shut. Always, always, always be prepared to give an account for what you believe. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to earth, that He walked among men, that He was perfect and sinless. But yet man crucified Him. They hung Him to a cross, drove nails in His hands and feet. And when He died, they placed Him in a tomb. On the third day, He arose. And today, He sits at the right hand of God the Father. I believe that. And I believe the Bible. And I believe that the Bible teaches we are to love all people. We are to love even those who come against us. We're to love those who ridicule us. We're to love those in power and authority over us, even though they may be wrong and far from God themselves. Because we are to love. And those are the things that are important to this nation. But it's sliding away. Be ready to explain your faith. Be ready to share with anyone this hope that you have. Tell them about God. There's a little boy. And he was sitting there and he was drawing a picture, and his kindergarten teacher came up and asked what he was drawing. And he said he was drawing a picture of God. She said, but no one knows what God looks like. He answered, they will when I'm done. Share Jesus with people so that when you're finished, they will know and understand who he is. Peter gives us the method of sharing our faith, looking at verse 16. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see the good life that you live because you belong to Christ. Beating somebody down doesn't win it for you, folks. You present the gospel in a loving way, modeling God's love as you love others. There may be a price for standing in the gap. Some will not accept what you tell them. We understand that. Some may ridicule you and even try to hurt you in some way. That's true. But Peter ends this section of Scripture. He says this. Remember, it's better to suffer for doing good, if that is what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong. Our military stands in the gap for our freedoms here in this country. We must stand in the gap for our faith here in this country and around the world. Tomorrow, remember those that have sacrificed their lives for our freedom. But folks, always remember the one that sacrificed his life for us, our salvation. We must be strong and we must stand in the gap and defend what we know to be true. Bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we see so many things going on around us. Father, we see a country that is turning its back on you. And we recognize the danger there. For we know, Lord, that no nation that has ever turned its back on you has really stood strong. We know that there are nations that have been placed into exile as a result. Father, I pray for this country, that somehow eyes will be opened. Father, I pray that the Christians in this nation will stand up and will have a voice and will be bold and be courageous. Help us to stand in the gap for Christianity. Help us as a church to stand in the gap in this community and sharing the love that you have for all who are in this community. Help us to reach out to them. And Father, I pray for our soldiers who even today are in harm's way. For those who lay down their lives for us to enjoy the freedom that we have. And Father, as we go from here, Help us to remember and to never forget. Not only those lives that were given for our freedom, but the life that was given for our salvation. Lord, we just lift this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.